This is Insight, live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. I was actually waiting for the Goldfinger music. Any chance we have it?
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger.
And that was worth waiting for. Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger by John Barry, and you can hear that iconic James Bond theme sung by Gloria Parsons and performed by the Folsom Lake Symphony in the upcoming summer concerts June 1st and June 2nd. It's all under the direction of Maestro Peter Jaffe, a program of heroes and villains, and the maestro is joining me now.
Well, it's so great to be here. And, you know, if we're talking about glory, Glory Parsons is doing something which is practically impossible. I don't know of any other singer that could do this, but we just heard Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger, right? You know, we have different voice types that we talk about, ranging from sort of the low end of the spectrum to the high end of the spectrum. And Shirley Bassey was basically what we call a contralto, which is practically the lowest voice you can get. And Glory, actually, in part of one of our James Bond medleys, she's going to be singing Goldfinger. So it's really cool that you had that clip lined up. But she is also singing the top end of the spectrum. Oh. She's also a coloratura soprano, and she'll be singing the Queen of the Night, which has the highest note in the repertoire for anybody to sing. And so when I first talked with Glory and we were talking about, because she's got relatively a cameo role in this performance, but what she does is absolutely astounding.
Is that something that to some degree you're born with? It depends on your vocal pipes, but then you train it out, or can someone learn that range?
You're right in both respects. In other words, you're pretty much born with the voice range that you have, but you can train to extend it in either direction. Mm. And she's done that up the wazoo. She's just absolutely phenomenal to work with.
All right. So Glory Parsons is the featured soloist. This is such a fun theme. What inspired you? What were you thinking about for heroes and villains?
Great question. You know, there's something that I like to call the vicarious audience adventure thrill. Mm-hmm. And back in the 19th century, when the symphony and the opera probably had their heyday, you know, the place that you'd go to get this kind of feeling like you're almost vicariously being the hero, mm-hmm. or you're being maybe even the villain, you know, when you're sitting there in your seat, that was the place you'd go, was the symphony or the opera. These days, probably 95% of our culture is used to getting that sort of vicarious audience adventure thrill when you go to a Star Wars movie, or when you go to, you know, see the Avengers, or some big epic, The Lord of the Rings, or, you know, something that has heroism in it. And it's my continual contention that you can still get that kind of thrill when you hear a symphony concert live, because you live these emotional experiences. And so we've got this whole program and, you know, all the favorites. We got Batman and Superman, and we've got Raiders of the Lost Ark, and we do have Star Wars, you know, with Darth Vader's going to be represented by the Imperial March. And we've even got the Incredibles. I mean, it's just a fantastic list. Wonder Woman, she's going to be there.
Awesome.
And so, you know, we've got from the oldies to the relatively new recent ones.
I want to hear a little bit more music here. Let's play a superhero theme that takes us back in time.
It's just so beautiful. Doesn't that just bring tears to your eyes?
The thing is, if you could hum along or sing along with that, we know your age.
Right. And the words, aren't the words just so inspiring?
Batman!
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. We're actually going to play two versions of Batman in this concert. We're going to do the 1989 movie version that Danny Elfman wrote.
Which that was not.
That was not. What we just heard was from the 60s, which was written by Neil Hefti. But you
and
were,
that was from the TV show.
From the TV show. And we're going to actually teach it to the audience and have them sing along.
Oh, great.
Because as you hear, the words are not that difficult to learn.
I'm kind of thinking we should play that clip again and keep Maestro Jaffe's mic up. I'd love to hear you sing along you're going to teach
this.
The voice.
No.
It's so iconic. I think as kids, we grew up doing it. Are we going to spare him here? We're going to spare him.
We're going to spare me. Yeah. I did the world a favor and I am not a singer. Glory Parsons is a singer. I'm not. You know what's really interesting is it's practically sort of the deal that all conductors have bad singing voices.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you have such good ears.
Because we have such great ears. It's almost like you got to go to bad singing school in order to become a conductor. And so, like, in the one in a million times when a conductor gets up there and actually sings to the orchestra in a great voice, everybody in the orchestra goes, "What's the matter with them?" You know,
why are you conducting? You could be singing.
That's right.
Hey, I do have a little treat for you. I do have the clip of the Danny Elfman version of Batman.
Let's do that.
Let's listen.
Okay.
That's the whole younger group of Batman fans.
And again, we're trying to hit all age groups with this program. Mm-hmm. It's just unabashed fun.
I think you also hit something else there. In the two pieces of music, you think, is Batman a hero or a villain? Does he have a moment when he's a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, and
is he dark or light?
They even exploited that, didn't they, in this movie where he was together with Superman?
Yeah.
But I think another hero of all of this stuff, besides the audience having this sort of vicarious adventure thrill, is the orchestra itself. I mean, what makes these heroic themes is the sound of a symphony orchestra. You just can't duplicate it. I know we could play either one, but why don't we hear that really short, iconic, really bit from Superman? I mean, you just can't duplicate this sound without a full symphony orchestra. Now, I got to admit, I'm old enough that I remember when that Christopher Reeve movie came out.
Yeah.
I saw it when it premiered in that winter way back when. And you know, John Williams has composed over 100 famous movie scores.
Wow.
I mean, and so, you know, a lot of this program that we're playing, the themes were written by John Williams. He wrote Superman. He wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. And, of course, he wrote Star Wars, maybe because we got to get a villain in here, right?
We do have a little of the Imperial
March. Maybe we should hear a little
march.
Bit of Darth Vader. I mean, it's iconic, you know, his music. My wife and I actually once had the enormous privilege of having lunch with John Williams.
Oh, really? That must have been such a thrill for you.
It was amazing. And I was thinking, you know, so I wouldn't look like a total putz. I was thinking if I could come up with just at least one great question, it would be really cool. And so I asked John Williams, I said, I imagine that when you're confronted with any project, one of your most fundamental philosophical questions is, when am I going to score it with music and when am I going to leave it dry, you know, with no music?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "That's right." And I was thinking, oh, phew, you know, at least I had a good question. And he told me this story because they just barely crossed. But when John Williams was really young, he was Johnny Williams in the industry. You know, he wrote the theme from Lost in Space.
He did?
Yeah, that was Johnny Williams. And at one point, he was working on a really late Hitchcock movie. And Hitchcock, you know how Hitchcock always gets you with this ultimate suspense, you know, he winds you up into a little knot and then you snap. Right before one of those moments was going to happen, he said, "Now, Johnny, I want you to leave this part dry." And so that's a really effective device, is sometimes you purposely don't score it, but John Williams writes an amazing amount of music for his movies, and it's really super effective.
I'm looking up on my phone to see if I can find the Lost in Space theme here. Hang on.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
You know, yeah.
Yeah,
It was a pretty...
There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So my technical crew is having a fit that I just did that from my phone right there. But I grew up
with
that show.
I know, because I had sent them a clip that they didn't like the sound quality of, and they were right to do that. So they got up a better one.
You know what I want to say is that the time is right now for us to all experience that wish that we could be larger than, greater than, saving, maybe stronger, farther. I don't know. I feel like we're in a time of striving. So this kind of a theme and the bigness of the music in the senses of hearing and imagination seems right on to me.
Well, I'm so glad you've pressed all the right buttons. I mean, you know, that's the whole ethos behind this show, is that it's really ultimately how we affect you as an audience member. And we want people to come out of the symphony going, "Yeah, I won. You know, I triumphed over the bad guys." And this kind of music is just so uplifting. And the really cool thing is when you hear it, everybody sort of replays their own movie in their imagination when you hear the music. And I think, parenthetically, that's what's so cool about the radio. You know, we're always on the sound waves here, and you do such a magnificent job, Beth. And when people hear you, and we're hearing the stories told on the radio, we create our own individual movies, and that's our adventure story.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Do you have a favorite superhero? Do you have a favorite superhero movie?
Oh, man. No. I don't know how you curated this program
and chose just the limited number of pieces.
It was really hard, because you can probably come up with 100 tunes, you know, and the program would last a week.
Oh, we have one more for you. I want to get to, I don't think I even need to say what this is, because it's iconic and people will recognize it, and the Folsom Lake Symphony will be performing it.
Now pay attention, 007. This is no ordinary concert. Observe, there are rocket launchers here. Special instruments here. So,
okay, I know who your favorite is.
I grew up with that music. I mean, it's from the golden age of super cool music. Yeah.
So the James Bond theme will be there. You have music from E.T.
We've got E.T., and so our heroes and villains don't even have to be human beings.
Yeah.
We've got Jaws there as a villain, too.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that we rewound to James Bond, because there's going to be a special exhibit in the lobby of James Bond memorabilia. One of the Friends of the Symphony has a lot of this stuff that you get from auctions and conventions and stuff like that. So there's going to be a really healthy dose of James Bond there, too.
All right. One quick pitch to everybody, then. The concerts are?
The concerts are on Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and June 2nd, at the Harris Center in Folsom. You got to be there. You can't miss it. And thanks so much for having me here, Beth.
We'll post a link with more information. Maestro Peter Jaffe, always a pleasure. This was great fun. I think this will be a fabulous concert series. Thanks for joining us.
You're an angel. Thanks so much.
And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Good thoughts go out to our technical director, Mark Jones, today. And we are back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.